This week on the Silver and Black Show, the Raiders return to divisional play against the Los Angeles Chargers. In our Hawaiian Airlines overview, we sit down with Italian-born kicker Giorgio Tavecchio. And head coach Jack Del Rio joins Chris Townsend to discuss what this team needs to do to get back on track. All that and more on the Silver and Black Show, starting right now.
The Silver and Black Show.
I know they have a talented roster, and you know they present some matchup issues, and we're getting ready for those.
It seems, they obviously got off to a good start, and obviously they've hit a little lull here, but it's a good team, a team that obviously the playoff team last year.
I've seen him long enough. You know, I've got a lot of respect for him. Even when he's had receivers hurt in the past, he's just always remained very dangerous. You know, really, really a capable guy. Now, obviously he's got his receivers all healthy, and he leads the way he can read defenses, get them in a good play, and throw the ball.
Regardless of what's happened, I think had they been sitting at 4-1 and we were 3-2, I don't think you would have any different approach by these two teams.
The Raiders look to turn things around against the Chargers. Welcome to week 6 of the Silver and Black Show. I'm your host, Nicole Zalumis, alongside 2-time Super Bowl champion Jim Plunkett. And Jim, the Raiders, they snap their 6-game home winning streak. They lose their third straight. As a player, and this is the second time it's happened in the Jack Del Rio era, so something that they're not accustomed to, but how do you not let this get in your head? What changes do you make, if any?
Well, you get fired up about, you know, your job, what you're supposed to be doing out there. The coaches can only do so much. They get you prepared for the game, but as a player, you have to go out and play it. And I think back in my day, we had guys like Gene Upshaw who would get out there, be a team leader, and I think that's what this team needs, somebody inside like Khalil Mack, like Derek Carr, you know, to get on the players, tell them, you know, go out, do your job, do it well, and things will fall into place and we'll take care of business that way. But, they, you know, they need to refocus, get back on the winning track, of course, and do their job. And if everybody does their job, they can come away a winner.
And with that, let's get to our week 6 headlines. Charged up. The move to Los Angeles seems to have sparked our division rivals' pass rush. For the past few years, the Chargers have been middle of the pack to below average when it comes to getting after the quarterback, but not in 2017. They are tied for third in the league with 17 sacks and are led by two young edge rushers in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, the latter having the second most sacks through 5 weeks. Jim, it's tough enough to scheme for one of these guys, but when you have both of these guys on either side, how do you plan for this and shut them down?
Well, usually the offensive lineman or the center, whoever calls the offensive scheme, slides one way and the back blocks on the other side. So you kind of take care of it that way. But the trouble is when they line up on the same side where you really have a big problem, it's just really hard to cope with both these players when they decide to pass rush. And they run games, they run twists, and it makes them so difficult for the offensive line to pick them up. And, you know, 67 goes outside to help on one of the rushers, but he misses Ingram coming on the inside, and that leads to a sack on the quarterback, and here it's Eli Manning. They've been very, very weak on defense over the last several years, and I think, you know, they're getting ready to really make their defense a better unit to stop the run in particular, but to come after the quarterback as well.
Our second headline focuses on our defense, turnover drought. Last year, the Raiders finished with the second most forced fumbles and the 9th most interceptions in the league. This year, they're bottom 10 in both categories, including being one of only 3 teams that has failed to pick off the opposing quarterback in 2017. Jim, are turnovers just unpredictable, or are you seeing something different from this defense this year?
Some of those turnovers are unpredictable, but for the most part, it comes from pressure, either by the interior lineman or by blitzing and getting to the quarterback, making him throw when he doesn't want to, and tighter coverage by the defensive secondary. Get up close, run with those guys, make something happen defensively. So pressure, number one, and better coverage, number two, and those turnovers will start to come.
To the signal caller, our defense is hoping to pick a peaceful river. The Chargers seem to have shored up their offensive line issues from last year, as Phillip Rivers has been sacked the 3rd fewest times in the league and has led his offense, producing the 4th most passing yards through 5 weeks. Jim, what have you seen out of Rivers this season that makes him a success?
Well, I think he does the same thing as he always does. He gives himself more time. He slides one way or the other, and it's not something that he actually sees, I think, being an experienced quarterback. It's something that he feels. He feels the pressure. He slides to one side or the other, gives himself a hair more time, and is able to get the ball off down the field. He does a terrific job. He's one of just a few quarterbacks in the league who does that consistently. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and there's a few other guys who do that, but Phillip Rivers is a master of it.
Make sure to keep it here. More to come on the Silver and Black Show.
This will be a 52 58-yard field goal. Marquette King stepping up now. That'll be a 52-yarder, right hash mark, left-footed kicker. Giorgio has it away, plenty of distance, and it is good! Giorgio Tavecchio nails a 52-yard field goal.
Giorgio Tavecchio, what a debut for you. Let's go back to your long journey because you've been with the Raiders for a while. Now you're a household name, but go back to that kick and the emotions of sending it through the uprights.
Well, I mean, I still haven't been able to really fully process it all because it was such a crazy week. And, you know, at this point, I'm still so focused on just continuing to give to this team. But what I do remember, which is very little right now, I was pretty blank in that space during that game. And I just wanted to let my body do what it's been doing for a long time. And I appreciate that I was able to just do my job and then help the team.
So now I would think there's a lot of noise on the streets in Moraga when you're walking in your hometown. What is that like to go from, you know, Giorgio Tavecchio, who they know there from growing up there, but now you really are a household name, especially in these parts?
You're making me blush a little bit too much.
But
I don't
it's
know if
true.
I'm, you know, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. What comes to mind is just gratitude. You know, speaking of Moraga, you know, the Berkeley community, because I played at Cal, had such unbelievable support over the years, you know, through the good, the bad, the ugly. So for me to be able to share this special time in this journey with them really means a lot to me.
Now, you weren't born in Moraga. You grew up there. Your journey started in Milan. So what was that transition like to go from Milan, Italy to Moraga, California?
Sure. I bounced around a lot as a kid between Italy and the United States. But people ask me all the time, did you feel Italian? Do you feel more American? And I always say California. It's kind of a go-between. Kind of come to Moraga, I think I was 9, 10 years old. We really felt accepted by the community and essentially it's become home for my family and I. So it's a great place to live. Again, I can't be, you know, I'm so grateful for the incredible support that I've had from that community, and that's become home for our family.
So now the starting gig might be something new to you, but the silver and black isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Just that process of being cut, being persistent, mm-hmm. always sticking with it. What was your mindset? What kept you around?
Well, they say that for those who want to enjoy the rose, you have to contend with the thorn.
And wow, I always,
Giorgio. I've been thinking about that one for a while.
These Italian men. Continue.
I'm sorry. You know, I guess I always try to frame this football experience as a journey. You know, I try to use it as a way to grow personally, you know, not only as a kicker, but as a man, as a, you know, man of faith, a brother, a son, a teammate. So I tried to look deeper into this experience and give myself fully to it in order to receive a lot of positive growth, which is, again, has been one of my main aims.
Now, what's kept you playing football? Because I know over the years there have been opportunities outside of football
sure.
for you to be a businessman, for you to use that college degree. What's kept you suited up in Raiders gear?
The heart wants what the heart wants. You know, it's been a journey of self-discovery. And because I think that journey was so intimate, it was hard to let go of. You know, it's like a relationship that you just, you know, you love and you give, and it's really hard just to turn your back. Because even the faintest little glimmer of hope, little bright ray mm-hmm. that pierces through the night, you're like, but what if?
Yeah. You can always be a businessman. I mean, there's plenty of time for that. Can't always
sure.
be a football player. Let's get to our five questions. We
sure.
get to know Giorgio. You are a coffee enthusiast. So what's your drink of choice? Is it Pete's? Is it Starbucks? Is it some little shop in Moraga we've never heard of?
I like Cafe Strada in Berkeley. It's kind of a place that's very close to my heart. I haven't been able to get back there too much, or as much as I would like, I should say. You know, I'm not a coffee snob. You know, I usually cappuccino in the morning, espresso in the afternoon, but you know, as long as I'm with somebody that I enjoy being with in good company, then I'm happy.
So do you frown upon a Keurig?
No, I'm fine. I'm not, you know, anything is good for me, and I appreciate the little things extra.
So you've worked with the defensive linemen during practice. This is something you wanted to do, am I correct? What is your role?
Yes. I shouldn't say worked with the D lineman. I just, you know, because I can't by any means be a D lineman. I say it's my spirit animal because that's, I wish I was like those guys inside.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened in training camp. I remember seeing these guys warming up, and they were doing a couple individual drills where they would kind of hold the bag for each other and take a couple hits. And I thought, you know, I really want to contribute to this team. And, you know, I was trying to find more ways to do so. And I just thought, what if I just held the bag and kind of saved their bodies a little bit? And, you know, I got a little bit of attention for it, but I really didn't want it to be about me. I just wanted to somehow give.
Yeah,
you know?
Be a team player, not a
sure,
gimmick. No,
sure.
I totally understand
that. It's
super
cheesy, and I'm Italian. That's just kind of how it is.
Well, you're well-traveled. We know that. Mm-hmm. Is there one place that you haven't been to that you're dying to get to?
España, Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's, well, I don't know if I should call it Spain. We'll see in the next couple weeks, but I would like to go to the Iberian Peninsula.
You haven't been there yet?
I haven't been to Spain. I've been to Portugal.
I'll just add it to my list of places sure. that I'd like to get to and probably never will. Your favorite non-sport activity?
Crosswords.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoy crosswords.
Like out of the newspaper, or you have books of them?
USA Today.
Do you think that you're the best crossworder on the team?
I'll put that challenge out there if anybody wants to face me.
Oh, that's good. I like challenges. Something that you're not good at that you wish you were?
Oh, that's a great question. I feel like I shouldn't.
Can
say
you
that.
Cook?
Yeah, I
okay.
doubt it.
It would be a shame if you came from Italy and you couldn't cook. So we'll check that box.
Sure. I can cook. I was going to say, the first thing that came to mind was tango dancing. But it's not that I'm not good at it. I just did it for a little bit of time, and mm-hmm. I haven't done it in a while. And it's something that I found really interesting. You know,
yeah.
It's a very expressive form of
I like this.
Emotion.
Dancing with the Stars.
No.
Tevecchio. Come on.
But
you
I
could
do
it. There's a football player on every season.
Sure.
Represent the silver and black.
Sure, but I don't do it for that attention. It's more for the internal translation of this emotion that you can express in a different way physically.
Okay. Well, I hope they're watching right now and they realize what a gem. You spoke a little bit of Italian to me, so mm-hmm. I know that you can speak your native mm-hmm. tongue. I spoke Italian for a second. I mean, mm-hmm. I took a class at Berkeley just so mm-hmm. I could graduate from USF. And what I retained from it was voglio un uomo perfetto.
Voglio un uomo perfetto.
Did I say it?
You said it perfectly.
Okay.
Continua aspettare. I said keep waiting because, you know, sorry, we're not perfect.
Can you translate to the audience the one line that I was able to take away from my Italian class?
So basically, she's voglio un uomo perfetto means I want a perfect man.
Yes, I think I found the perfect man. Well, we found the perfect Raider. You are a team player. Thank you so much for coming on today. Can you take us to break in Italian?
It's my pleasure. A tutti voi telespettatori, ci vediamo la prossima volta. Ciao.
The hunger for it, that's there. It's just a matter of making your plays. You get these opportunities, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, doesn't get it done. You know, the bottom line is football games in the National Football League typically come down to who makes plays, you know, when you're at those key moments. I mean, you have to make them. Those are your opportunities. You get them right there. You're in a situation where you're going to get the ball back. You've got to make those plays. And that's, you know, that situational awareness, that productivity in those situations, that's the difference between winning and losing at this level.
Parity has always been a staple of the NFL's success. Not a season goes by that you don't hear any given Sunday. Well, you can boil that down even further to any given play. 2 to 3 snaps in each game that can swing the favor from one team to the other can turn a 3-game losing streak into a 3-game winning streak. Desire is only half the equation. Understanding the importance of the situation, of the moment at hand, can be the deciding factor between success and failure.
Well, Coach, obviously this is a big football game for you this week, but we know what's going on here in the Bay Area, especially in the North Bay. So many great Raider fans, so many people affected by these fires. It's such a tragedy.
It is incredible, the devastation. You know, you think fires, you know, okay, there are a lot of fires pop up. This is like nothing we've ever seen in the Bay Area. And sincere thoughts, prayers go out for all those affected and the lives that have been lost. Some real touching stories. A lot of different things have come out, and people always seem to pull together and do the right things to help. But really, really a tough situation.
Yeah, in fact, so many, including in our own family, Cliff Brandt. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody. Obviously, a huge game for you against the Los Angeles Chargers. This is a win you desperately need.
Yes, it is. And good job saying Los Angeles Chargers.
Yes,
and not San Diego Chargers. Yeah, it's a good football team. I mean, they've been in close games. They've got talent on their roster, and you know, Phillip Rivers is always tough to deal with, and so we've got our work cut out. But this is a must-have.
Yeah, and I think about getting your quarterback. What kind of lift is that going to be having Derek back in the lineup for you?
Getting him back, obviously, he's our trigger man. Now, I thought EJ did a nice job, but Derek is our leader. Derek is our trigger man, and it's definitely a boost to have him back.
I'm glad you brought that up because after the game, you know, we were talking about in the post-game show that. E.J. Manuel did well for himself.
He's
not the reason why you lost on Sunday.
No, and we're not really looking for reasons. The reason is we weren't as good as a team as we need to be. And that's in all three phases. So you know if you're playing your backup quarterback, he comes in and does a solid job. You've got to make that go. Defense, special teams, offense, productivity. You've got to be able to get it done as a football team.
And so much of this game is about the turnover battle. You haven't gotten an interception this year. How key is that for you this week against
Big.
The Chargers?
It's huge. And we've had our opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, guys right there, tips and overthrows, we say we got to get those, and we do have to get those. Big part of what's going on right now is our inability to get off on third down and our inability to generate turnovers. When we start doing those two things, that's like the key that unlocks the door, and then you start seeing great things happen.
And we know the Chargers have some guys that can rush the passer, and one of the ways to get rid of a pass rush is to run the football.
Yeah, run the football be big. Obviously, they've got two really gifted pass rushers in Bosa and Ingram, both really good players, having great years. So we've got to be able to run the ball for sure and convert those third downs, get the ball out of our quarterback's hand.
Yeah, and Phillip Rivers has tormented the Raiders over the years, and he's a guy that he has a chance to give the ball back to you a few times, but he's been a tough competitor for a long time.
Oh, he's very competitive. I have a lot of respect for Phillip. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He's done it. Even last year, their receivers were decimated. He continues to put up yards and points. And so he's definitely a guy that knows what he's doing, very, very capable. But he will be aggressive. He'll go for the 40-yard shot, and every now and then he'll throw you one. So, you know, we got to take advantage of those opportunities.
You know, so many times we want to look at the standings, but the bottom line is, isn't it getting back to 500? That is the key for this Raider football
team. Well, winning the next game. I mean, we've got to win the next game. That's what we're after. Never mind about the standings. I think for us right now, get a win. It's a division game. It's an AFC game. There are a lot of reasons why it's really important. It's the next game, and obviously there's nothing like winning.
Yeah, good luck in this one, Coach.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, we got Chalk Talk with the great Lincoln Kennedy. He'll be breaking down the Chargers and their struggle stopping the run right here on the Silver and Black Show.
Hey, class. Professor Kennedy here with this week's edition of Chalk Talk, brought to you by the Ray Morgan Company. So I'm taking a look at the Chargers. Very aggressive, sometimes undisciplined defense. Sometimes their aggressiveness plays them out of position, and I think the Raiders can take advantage of that in the running game. So I went back to the Denver Bronco game. There's some things that I've noticed that I think the Raiders can definitely use to their advantage. First of all, Trevor Siemian needs to decipher whether this is zone or man coverage. Chargers like to play a lot of man because they like to bring a lot of blitzes and a lot of aggressive packages on offenses. So the first thing we're going to see is we're going to see the tight end go in motion. Tight end comes in motion. See that you have a man go with him. By 37 following the tight end in motion, we know that we've got man look. This is a simple trap play. Most offenses run. In this situation, the tight end is actually going to be the trapper. He's going to go and trap the end man on the line of scrimmage. You've got a double team here for that backer. You've got a double team here for that backer. You've got a seal technique by this tackle. Now, in this situation, you typically have to have a slot receiver or someone else who's going to come in and dig out the safety. In Denver's case, Emmanuel Sanders is going to come in here and block number 37. But by San Diego playing so aggressively and over-pursuing this, they're going to run themselves right out of the play. And C.J. Anderson, where the hole is supposed to be right here, is going to make a great cut back there for all the nothing but daylight. Here comes the tight end with the trap. You see the double teams? See Emmanuel Sanders get in there and take care of business? Now, C.J. Anderson makes a miss in the hole. Free man in the hole. Certainly what our running backs can do for a 20-yard gain. Let's take a look at the Chiefs in play two. Now, some of you might ask, what's the reason for motion? Well, again, as we said, it's between man or zone. If someone goes with the man in motion, it's man coverage usually. If someone stays at home, it's zone. The reason why offenses and especially quarterbacks want to know that is because the Chargers are aggressive defense. They blitz more out of man than they do zone coverages. So it's good for the quarterback to have a heads up or some sort of inference of whether or not they're going to be blitzing on this particular play, whether he should keep it or audible. As we take a look at the motion, Alex Smith sees that the defense just shifts, so he knows that he's got zone. So it's okay for him to keep the play on. Okay, so let's look at how this play is designed and how it should work, ideally. You've got a seal technique by this one. Double team up to these two right here. This man has got an ISO on him. Tackle's got an ISO on the outside linebacker. Fullback is supposed to ISO up on him, onto the inside linebacker. By design, you're already outnumbered because it's almost impossible for this tight end to go through this man to get him. So either he's a free hitter in the hole or he's a free hitter in the hole. But there are sometimes where the defense is actually overplay and over-pursue and take themselves out of position. Let's watch how this happens. Check out number 56. Watch him over-pursue and take himself out of the play. Now he gets blocked. Kareem Hunt saw a huge opening and now he's free off to the races. Left the backside hole open. Undisciplined defensive play, left the backside hole wide open. You're not catching them in open field. Touchdown Chiefs. So our guys can do the exact same thing, whether it's Marshawn Lynch or Jalen Richard. You take advantage of an over-aggressive defense that sometimes plays themselves out of position. But that does it for this week's lessons, class. I'll see you next week.
The Raiders look to get that ground game going against the Chargers. Welcome back to the Silver and Black Show. Jim, I feel like week after week you've mentioned the run game. When it comes to the Raiders, I would think this is the best opportunity that they're going to get against the Chargers.
Without a doubt, they've given up over 800 yards on the ground, one of the worst in the entire league. So, you know, that's something that I think the Raiders should focus on. They did a good start against the Ravens last week, ran the ball fairly effectively, especially early. And I think that's something they should try to do against the Chargers. Make them stop the run first, then you can go to the air, play action, and all that other stuff works when you have a good running game.
Looking at this matchup, is there something, one area of focus or one person that you saw last week that you think will have a great matchup against the Chargers this week?
Well, personally, I would like to see Amari Cooper be more involved in the offense. He's got 9 catches after 5 games, and you know that's not up to his, number one, his ability and what he can do for this football team. So hopefully more passes will be coming his way. He's a game breaker. He's a big play guy. I'd like to see the ball in Cooper's hands a lot more.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Silver and Black Show. Remember, it's a short week, week 7, as the Raiders host the Kansas City Chiefs. On behalf of Jim Plunkett, Jack Del Rio, Giorgio Tavecchio, and all of us here at Silver and Black Productions, go Raiders.